So our assignment from Friday, can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I do what he says, I'm a wimp who cannot stand up to him. If I don't do what he says, I will hurt him. I'm either spineless or a bad child. What are the two choices the voices offer you? Record and listen to what you see. On Saturday, as you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that results in suffering? Example, I'll always choose to do what the other person wants since I can't bear to be the cause of another person's upset. Record and listen to what you see. And then on Sunday, what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either or framing of the issue? All right. So here we go. I'm going to call on those brave people who actually said that they're willing to talk. So here we go. First caller.
Who are you and where are you?
Live on the air, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Beth. Sherry, it's Beth.
Hey, Beth.
I think. I'm here.
Could be Sherry. We don't know.
Yeah, could be, you know.
We're not attached to identity.
Right. I'm starting to get that. Well, I had a great time yesterday catching up on all the assignments. And what really struck me was the duality part. And I had come up with a victim doormat, a romantic, and then a fixer-upper, a fix-it person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the dualities, I thought that the victim doormat was the opposite of the romantic. But it turned out that the romantic was actually the opposite of alone and afraid.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I didn't see it until I was recording about it.
Well, good. There's a commercial for recording and listening, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, and so the romantic, did you begin to suspect that the romantic was not actually a romantic, since given that duality?
Well, you know what was really fascinating about that was the romantic had all these great words. Oh, relationship is so fun, and it's exciting, and it's loving, and it's kind, and it's caring. Except the romantic stayed in the head imagining that that's what the relationship was like, even contrary to her experience.
Uh-huh. So,
total delusion.
Yeah. So hiding the fact that the real opposite of alone and afraid, was that?
Yep.
Okay. Is relationship no matter what?
Yes.
But a relationship no matter what doesn't sound good, right? So romantic now, that's something a person can, you know, get behind and feel good about.
Yes, exactly. And then when I was recording about what other options are available, is that all of them could be there?
Uh-huh.
In a sense of, you know, I wasn't stuck being a certain part, because what really struck me was that I had to be perfect in order to have somebody be in relationship with me.
So you've got another duality going.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. The romantic kind of took that on. She thought being romantic was perfect.
Uh-huh.
I might be jumping all over the place here, but it was fascinating.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, yes. And we don't need to draw conclusions, do we? I mean,
what
you're doing is looking at this and seeing these folks and getting to know them, and with a sense of everybody can be there.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Everybody has a place at the table. It's not a contest for which one gets to have best life.
Right, right. And I don't know if this is tracking, but everybody gets to be there in relationship too. Because I think that there was a lot of negating everybody, like only the fixer-upper would take over and, you know, finally, because when the romantic finally got disillusioned, then the fixer-upper took over.
Yeah, right. And so so here's how I would look at it, just to offer this to you,
yeah.
That all of those people can be in relationship with Beth.
There we go.
Yeah, it's probably not
that's
necessary that everybody gets to be in relationship with other people.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I see that.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's how the karma gets maintained, right?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I have a sweet, romantic person, and, of course, karma is going to definitely get me in a relationship with somebody who is not those.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so then I'm going to be that way, and then you're going to reject me, and then I'm going to, and then the fixer upper takes over, and then lonely and afraid is, you know, and
yeah,
so
yeah,
all,
see.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Not the yep. way they're not being taken care of, they're being acted out.
Ah, that's really helpful. That's really helpful. So what if I'm tracking, I get to be in relationship with those folks through recording and listening and really hear what's going on and then be able to open up the choices, which I love Sundays. You know, what are the other options? There might be totally other options of how then to be in relationship.
Yes. Yes. In that way, you know, we talk about it usually, at least I do, with anger. So I can have all the anger I want to have, right? But I can't blame it on you. I can't take it out on you. I can't say you're making me feel this way. Mm-hmm. Because if I do that, you're not going to be open to that, as you shouldn't be. Right. But if I am having my own experience of anger and I can talk about my anger with you, having nothing to do with you, then we really increase the chances that you're going to be able to stay with me and hear me out and be supportive.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Is as long as, and that's, I think, part of what I saw is if I can stay with Beth, then
mm-hmm.
that's the best chance of anybody else being able.
Yes.
Yes.
And again, with practice, nobody else ever needs to see any of it.
Yeah, right, right. No, absolutely. It would come out
totally
different. It wouldn't be the same karmic pattern.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's great, Sherry. Well, thank you both so much. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
I got to be on.
Yes, thank you for stepping up there as an anonymous volunteer. We appreciate that.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Take care, Beth. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Beth. I think between the web controls and the app, I have a cue, so that's good.
Oh, very good.
The thing that struck me most about that conversation, right, Sherry, is that all of it's such a fascinating process of discovering all of these conflicting perspectives, and instead of them being relating to the, quote, other, to have them all relate to us, that's really the key to a successful relationship to the other, because it's an all perspective. Everybody gets to be in relationship to conscious compassion awareness.
Right. Yeah, to center.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, and then you get less triggered, or in other words, you can be with the other just as you would be with everything that's relating to conscious compassionate awareness. All that ever relates is conscious compassionate awareness to whatever is relating to it.
Yes. Yeah, And one of the images for this in relationship that I like is the idea of when two people first get together, the stakes are so high, everything is so intense. If, but now 10, 15, 20 years later, now we know each other. It's comfortable. All those triggers are not happening in the same way. So something happens, two people are out and there's an exchange. There isn't that immediate, oh my God, I've got to react and handle this right now from ego that is a disaster. We're in the, well, it's okay. We can talk about it later. And that's how we are with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love that because I think something else you said is if they're not relating to me, ego is controlling them, right? That the ego process is the one that shows up with the sweet person when what is needed is the conscious adult person.
Right.
If that's what the situation calls forth.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
The pain and the suffering happens because the wrong person is interacting, right?
Yes.
Isn't relationship.
And that's karma's whole deal, right? Get the wrong person into the situation. There we go.
Yeah.
It's going to be fireworks. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, that was so surprising because I didn't think it was working. This is Kate from Seattle.
See there?
Can you hear me?
In, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah, you sound good. Kate?
Oops. So you can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. This is Kate from Seattle. A little flustered because I didn't think it was working. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right, we got you.
You got me. But I'm happy to be here. And
oh, good, good.
And I haven't been here in a while, but I have been here, just not calling in. So I thought this would be a great day. And let's see, this month I'm working on a relationship with my mom, who struggles with a lot of chronic pain. And I have figured out I have sort of the two sides of trying to fix or being neglectful.
Uh-huh.
And the karma it seems to be linked to is that it's my responsibility or fault, whichever, whatever happens to her. And so that there's this real push to actually not do either. Like, I don't want to neglect her, and
right.
I don't want to get in her business.
Just get away from her, I would guess.
What was that?
Just get away from her.
Well, that actually, no. We end up spending quite a bit of time together, so there's a lot of suffering around it because it's the push
right.
and pull of, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was pointing at, although I didn't say it very well. That it's a desire on karma's part for the whole thing to go away. Just not be like that. Just so very different from actually being together with whatever is going on in the moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, and there's the get away from her emotionally, but not physically. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is just the worst, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why it's so popular with ego, right? So two people who care deeply about one another are in the same physical location and 1,000 miles apart emotionally because ego is running whatever ego is running inside each person's head.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And we're even taking a meditation class together right now. It's a mindfulness-based stress reduction. So she wanted to try that. And I keep, every time we're together, I just keep getting caught up in it every time.
And so, could you talk to her about it? about what happens with you?
I have, actually. Yeah, we do have pretty open lines of communication.
Uh-huh.
So I've talked to her about it. She's aware of it. I actually, it's interesting, but I think most of the suffering is on my side.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, internal.
Uh-huh. And so you've had the conversation, and so you both know that this dynamic exists, although usually in relationship, you know, my version of our dynamic and your version of our dynamic, even though we're using words that we both understand, our experiences are very different. That's just, at least in my experience, that's how it usually happens. But even though you've had the conversation, is it possible for you to call it when it's happening?
Yes. It is possible in that she would be receptive. And if I can, when I catch it, I can call it. Yes, that's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there are two. Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Well, it sounds like there are two aspects. One, you're not always aware of it when it's going on. And then there's becoming aware of it from a disidentified enough place to be able to talk about it right then.
Actually, now that you reflect that, I think I'm aware that's happening. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that awareness, because now I'm so paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
That I am watching for it, and then there's this, you know, like it's just like the, you know, the cycle of the process. There's the, okay, I'm not going to do it this time when we're together.
I love chocolate cake more than anything in the world, but this time when I go to that restaurant that has the best chocolate cake in the world, I'm not going to have
yep.
it. That it's really helpful to see that kind of setup, isn't it? You know, Kate, it occurs to me that it could be, now your mom wants to do mindfulness-based stress reduction. so clearly paying attention and seeing how things work appeals to her. Right?
Yes. I think she might be doing the class a little bit more to spend time with me but she's definitely getting things out of it. Like she's been telling me the things she likes about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she's kind of
a little bit wary though.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. Well, it occurs to me that it might be a really, and then you'll fill in the word that would describe this. Okay. For this to become a project for you and your mother. You're going to get to the bottom of this because you love your mother, and you don't want to have all this going about your mother. Your mother loves you. I can promise you, as a mother, she doesn't mm-hmm. want you to be feeling all this. Okay, so for the two of you to take it on as part of your mindfulness practice, to take the threat away from her because she'd be focused on. Not her, but on you, and so for both of you to practice noticing when there's anything going on that flags you, and then talk about it.
Okay, I love that. I love it, and I think she will too.
Oh, I know she will. I know she will. Yeah, it's you know, for every mother who loves her children. It's a dream come true. I know that's a wild projection, but I'm going to go with it. You know, I mean, it's true that there can be little glitches, right? But there are little glitches in all relationships, right? We always run into those little moments of, ooh, that was kind of hurtful, or ooh, with that, you know, whatever it is that goes on. But to be able to process it together and get through to the other side, as soon as we get the hang of that, that's what we want to be doing. We process anything. if we can get through the to the other side and the intimacy that comes from getting past ego.
Yes, and intimacy is exactly what earlier in the month when it was like, what do you, why do you want to work with this content? Mm-hmm. And that's really what I want, is that intimacy with her.
Yeah. Good yeah. for you. All right. I can feel it.
Thank
it's on
you.
Its way. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. That was so helpful.
Go happy.
Thank you, Ashley. Go happy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kate. So, Sherry, here, I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Eleanor in Athens, Georgia.
Hey, Eleanor.
Hi, I can hear you.
Yay.
Hi. I'm happy to be here. So much going on with this practice. It's so very exciting. So my practice this month continued kind of from last month on looking at how being identified stopped me from being close with my partner.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm seeing now, the big thing I've seen in the last week is how everybody sees things differently, and this
yep.
part, this aspect of me who is very, very seems to be quite active, is about seeing how things should be done right, and then when ego comes in, it puts pressure on me. And I've always seen it as pressure on me, and I saw it how it comes out at other people
uh-huh.
when I'm in that place. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's not very nice. It's not nice at all. But I realize that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that a lot internally. What I heard go out toward my partner. We, you know, we're getting ready for work, and I think we're just working together. Man, we've got so much to do. We're both blah, 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 blah. And then it seems like I came to some consciousness when I was told that I was putting out commands to my partner, who I thought we were just getting it all done, you know, this is the best
uh-huh.
way. And, you know, so.
When he started calling you Sergeant Major.
Exactly. Pretty much something like that, which is very unusual for that to happen, you know, for him to speak up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, whoa.
Huh.
And as I recorded about it, it was so enlightening. It is, I saw an aspect that I've never taken care of. And then Ashwini had a conversation last week about the parts of our personality that don't get seen and taken care of. And this is a part of me that she just sees things how she wants things to go smoothly, and she sees how it can happen. You know, there may be a little oneness in this on the Enneagram, and she can see it, and she wants it to happen that way, and that's what she's doing, da-da-da-da-da, you know. But
mm-hmm.
when ego comes in and takes over it, it becomes just horrible for me.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really seen it like that she really does need taken care of, because when he first came back at me, you know, I was totally went to the, oh, I'm guilty, I'm wrong, what am I thinking? You know, I went to a real bad, you know, whatever
yeah,
place.
Little kid place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where I
thought you were going with that is, seeing how you are put in the same position that he was put in.
Yeah.
So there's somebody who can see how to do it and see how blah, 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 which is okay. But
yeah.
not to lose sight of the part of you who is the grunt for the sergeant major.
You mean coming inward to my, yeah, the grunt, right, exactly. And that's it.
That's where you live all the time, right? Yeah. And then it's filled with him. And so you got to see her. not so much the sergeant major, sorry about that calling her that, but just to, because otherwise mm-hmm. there are too many hers. So, okay, she's got whatever she's got going on. And that's one of those, you know, if you want it done right, do it yourself. So she could, mm-hmm. she could do whatever, but it's not just pushing him around. It's pushing whoever that is in you, his equivalent in you around, the minion,
yes.
the foot soldier, right?
And that's it. That's
the person that, I guess we're both concerned about at this point, right?
We are, and an interesting thing I've seen in that person who's enduring that sergeant major is the tension that comes in the body is how it's connected to that place,
mm-hmm.
and the softening that comes together in with mind and body
mm-hmm.
when that stopped, when I can mm-hmm. become aware of that and stop it, and that was the main separation with us for our intimacy as well, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Which is the whole point
of doing it, getting it right. You know, this is how
for
you
ego.
Do it.
That's really right. Yes, and that and ego's whole deal is to get those standards in place so that they're never met, so that people always feel bad, so that mm-hmm. there isn't going to be any closeness. And so, because you've been practicing for a long time, I'm going to make this little suggestion. Sergeant Major might not be a person.
Oh, of course. Yeah, right. Sergeant Major is definitely a big evil thing. Yes.
Yeah, right? Because the conditioning wants us to go, well, you know, that she just wants everything done really. Yeah, but she might not be a she. It might simply be egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, assuming form and acting out, and then when caught says, well, I just have really high standards and I want things done really nicely. So just to be on the lookout
you
might not be talking to somebody authentic.
Right. And I know that's true because I know, the suffering that's caused from that and how powerful that is.
Yeah. That's a clue, huh? That's a big indicator for us that somebody is not not actually real. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So great. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini.
Right.
Thank you, everybody. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks to everybody. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Eleanor.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. Here's our assignment. Self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this focus? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hating messages. And here's an example of a self-hating message around this focus. You're an awful person for hating someone who loves you so much. Note, self-hate often speaks in you voices addressing us as you.
All right. Well, all right then.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I think I've mastered the technology, so hopefully tomorrow won't be that difficult.
Bless your heart. Good. And so okay. Good. Thank you.
And
thank you.
And thank you, Bob, for assisting us last week. So,
yes.
Everybody.
Yes. Thank you so much. All right. Take good care, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.